Blog Talk Radio.
Go for that.
You tango for that?
I said I can go for that. Go for
no,
the
I think you
note.
Should tango for that. I think you should tango
no,
for that.
I can't do that.
Come
I'm
on,
not
you
very
wouldn't even tango with me, Mick. It doesn't matter. We're white. We'll just dance with each other.
Oh,
our
God,
our awkwardness will cancel. Our awkwardness will cancel each other out.
I like to think so, but I have a feeling that's not the case.
Together, our dance, our awkward white boy dance, will create the fabulous dance of one black man.
Police shouldn't say one black woman, so.
Yeah, it's probably more like one black woman, yes. Yes. Or one black,
me and
one
Mike,
black
me
child.
Me and Mike are going to go out and twerk this weekend.
Our awkward white boy dancing together will create the magnificence of the dancing of one retarded black child. That's the best we can get. That's the best we can get. So I haven't been keeping up with the news today. Louis is going to be a little late, but I wanted to talk today because one of my friends is having a bit of a crisis with his ex significant other. I'm not going to mention his name because everybody would know who that would be. Huh?
Okay.
What kind of crisis?
No, it's not me.
Well, no, it's not. No, crisis, not you. But it brought up an interesting topic because I've been talking to him about it. Is pretty much abusive relationships and what they mean, because he was in a very abusive relationship and he left, but he's still kind of wrapped up in it. And
right.
I know. So I've have experience with abusive relationships. I've been both the abuser and the abusee, but I haven't. Nick, have you ever been in an abusive relationship? I mean, I know you had.
I have not, but to be honest with you, I mean, part of that is based on the fact that I haven't really been in a relationship in a really long time. I mean, so kind
yeah,
of by default, I haven't had to deal with any sort of...
He wishes for an abusive relationship. He prays for one.
I do. I wish I could have one.
Nick, I kind of thought that our relationship was abusive.
Well, I mean, I like it, so I don't know if I'd call that abusive.
Well, I thought, you know, like, I make fun of you, and then, you know, when we're in bed together, you beat the shit out of me, and I like that.
Yeah,
so,
it works
like
out,
you,
yeah.
It balances.
I am a glutton for punishment in my relationships. I constantly, like, try to, like, you know, go for girls who want nothing to do with me. I don't know if I would classify that.
No,
as
that's true. I do remember. I'm going to tell a story about Nick if he doesn't mind. It's from way back in the day when we were both very young, and there was this girl that was working. I think she was working at the Baskin Robbins, right, Amy?
Yes.
And Nick liked, because it's actually a pretty good taste. Nick liked to put Fritos in his ice cream, and he would eat Fritos with ice cream and. She expressed some sort of interest in that at one point, so he made sure, like, every time he was there, he had, like, Fritos in his ice cream, and she could see that he was doing it, so it would, like, spark a conversation.
I don't recall it like that way, but yeah, you're probably right.
I do. I very much do. I remember a couple of times when she was working, you'd be sitting there, and you'd be, like, eating Fritos and ice cream and, like, furtively looking over at her to make sure she saw that. So she'd be like, the Fritos and the ice cream again. You'd be like, yeah, totally. Go on, let's talk about it.
I like how you classify it as flirtingly and not creepingly. I appreciate that.
No, I said furtively. I didn't say flirtingly.
Oh.
His breath probably smelled like a sack full of feet. Ew, like butter.
No, hell no. Bitch, have you never had French fries and ice cream? That shit is fantastic.
No. That must be a white person thing.
For the record, you did
let me tell you something.
For a little bit. So it's
yeah, you did, but
you
never got to
level.
Bang her. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not, you know, that's not really an abusive relationship. I just remember you going to lengths to, see, because, like, I have a, like, like, I have a story where when I was 19, I had, it's Jeremiah's fault. It's your boy Jeremiah's fault that this happened. Because when Jeremiah and I were in high school, we would talk to bitches on, like, Prodigy and CompuServe and shit like that. And
yeah,
Jeremiah wound up getting something going with some chick. And out of jealousy, like, I did the same. Literally, the only reason I did that is because I couldn't stand that he was getting some bitches online and no bitch was talking to me. So, like, the first person that I thought that I recognized as a chick online on fucking Prodigy, I was just like, hey, what's up? And totally, like, putting it on or whatever, my fucking 15-year-old asshole game and whatever. And we wound up, like, talking offline and like, writing letters to each other. And she was, like, telling me she loved me and shit like that. And when I was, like, 19, I took a trip out to visit her in Michigan on a fucking Greyhound bus. 19-hour trip on a Greyhound bus. And, Mick, didn't you do some shit like that, too? Didn't you have, like visit some bitch?
yes, I did. I got stories for you. We can talk about this for the next half an hour. I'm sure you have more important stuff.
Okay, well let me finish mine before.
Go ahead,
finish
your story. Yeah.
What I gather so far is that you two are a bunch of chuckleheads. That's all I gather. Continue.
Chuckleheads is the nicest way of putting it, so that's fine.
Yeah, look, I was 15. I was really awkward. My school was 87% black, and the white contingent was made up by about 3 to 4 white girls, one or two of which really just said, fuck you white guys, and just got their asses blasted open by black cock on a regular basis. Like, just black cock, like I remember one girl that we all knew, actually, walking down the hallway, trailing like three or four black dudes who were all trying to get up in her shit at the same time. And she was loving that shit. Meanwhile, I can guarantee you that as soon as they left the school, she blew all four of them in the parking lot. Like, she was covered. She went home to her parents covered in black man jizz. I promise you. So I'm fucking 15, you know, and I'm awkward as shit. I'm all zitty and fucking, I have like over huge amounts of gel in my hair, like to the point where my hair didn't move even when I did. Like it was a helmet of gel that I had in my hair. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I was wearing like Panama Jack t-shirts that were too small for me. I was getting my ass kicked at home by my stepfather, and I was coming to school and getting my ass kicked at school by giant black kids. And then, so I had, you know, I was a miserable fucking prick of a kid. So, right. Like, you know, this girl, we're talking on the phone, we're writing letters. I didn't even know how to pronounce her fucking name. Her name was Deirdre, and I called, no, her name was Deirdre. See, I still can't even fucking pronounce a bitch's name. Her name was Deirdre, and it was spelled Deirdre.
Well, I do vaguely remember this now that you bring this up.
Yeah, so Jeremiah had his thing, because me and Jeremiah were, like, online pals, and when we weren't in school, we would, like, be cool with, like, Prodigy and shit, and we were on the cutting edge of technology with our fucking dial-up modems. It took 18 minutes to fucking connect, and then we had our own thing, and we bragged to each other about the chicks that we're talking to or whatever. Jeremiah had something semi-serious going on with that chick, and I wound up, when I was, like, 19 years old, she was like, come visit me, it's long enough. You know, we talked on the phone so many times, like, let's do it. So I go out there, and I didn't, and I'm a fucking idiot. Like, even at 19, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing with chicks. I kissed one girl who actually just refriended me on Facebook. Remember Jean?
Dude, I'm 36, and I still have no idea what to do with chicks, so don't feel bad about being 19 and having
no idea. No, I do now. I absolutely do. But back then, I had no idea. I had no fucking idea. I kissed one girl. And it was so odd. It was in front of you guys. It was in front of you, Mick, actually.
Yeah, my first kiss. I do remember
that. And actually, she's my friend on Facebook now. I'm going to try to bang her. I'm going to try to relive my 15-year-old glory days.
Nah, she just got engaged. You're not going to bang her.
Oh, no, I'll bang her. Don't worry. I've nailed married chicks. I've nailed engaged chicks. I'm the one. See, here's the problem with me. I get girls, but they're usually the kind of chicks that really want to have a fling because they're really fucking tired of their boyfriends or their husbands or whatever. And then, like, you know, I get into them and they're like, oh, yeah, no, I said I love you and everything like that, but, like, you know, I still have this, like, husband and shit, so fuck you.
Right.
You know, I'm the guy that they like to cheat on with, but I can't eke a relationship out of it. So I go out and visit this chick and she has a boyfriend, which she never told me about.
Of course.
And, like, when I'm, and you know, and I'm awkward. Like, we were sitting alone in her house, and I never made a move on her, which is, I could have. Like, she was into it. Like, that's why I was there. She wanted me to, but I never did because I'm a pussy. I was a pussy bitch back then. So, and meanwhile, she starts talking about her boyfriend and telling me about him. She's like, oh, Andy's a supervisor at Best Buy. And I'm like, wow, that's really fucking something you should be bragging about.
That's fantastic.
You know, she...
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, it's great. So, like, you know, things are really awkward, and I don't know what I'm doing in person or whatever. And so that night, her boyfriend comes over with his fucking mongo of a friend, his giant fucking lumbering ox of a friend who
comes over while you're there.
While I'm there. Like, happening with me, so she was like, fuck it, I'm bringing my boyfriend over.
Wow.
Like, I moved so spectacularly that she was like, I'm just going to fuck, like, in his face. Like, I don't even care anymore.
Right.
Seriously. So he comes over with his ox of a fucking friend, and as it turns out, this ox of a friend had actually raped Deirdre's roommate at one point. So there was like a lot of weird yeah.
Oh,
so there's a lot
God.
Of weird tension, and it was not even cool for that guy to be there.
Wow.
So like there's this whole weird dynamic. they're getting stoned off their asses and watching the wall. And I'm not like I'd smoked a bunch of weed before that, like, you know, I was a casual smoker, but like I really wasn't into smoking weed with people I didn't know, unless
right.
I had somebody I did know there.
Yeah.
So like I was like, fuck it, I'm not getting like stupid with these people. You know, I drank a little bit, but they're like watching Pink Floyd's The Wall and like giggling it up and shit like that. And then at some point, she disappears into her room with her boyfriend for the night, and that was it.
What did you do? Did you sleep there? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, I was, like, sleeping in the living room. Like, I was, like, you
oh
know,
God,
crashing on the
crazy.
Couch. It was so awkward. So then
well,
the next
thing.
Night,
okay.
the next, and I was supposed to be there for a week, man, a week. And after the first night, I'm like, "What? This is spectacularly terrible." Like, I had met her family
yeah.
during the day. Like, she introduced me to everybody. Like, it was crazy. So the next night, she decides she's going to go get her tongue pierced, and she wanted me to come with her. And I'm fucking depressed as shit. I don't want to do any. I'm like, "No, you go do that. I'm not going with you to get your tongue pierced, you fucking maniac." So she goes and gets her tongue pierced and then spends the night at her boyfriend's house. So, like, I'm, like, alone in this chick's house, and her roommate's like, fuck it. And I hang out with her roommate, and she drives me around fucking, you know, Ann Arbor and Detroit and shows me
yeah.
around. Like, she's doing all the shit that this chick should have done. And
right.
meanwhile, I'm so fucking pissed off, like an asshole. Like, instead of just talking to this bitch about it, like, I write her a fucking letter and, like, leave it on her fucking end. Like, it's the cringiest thing I've ever done in my life. It was just so,
yeah,
so dumb. So fucking
listen,
dumb.
I got stories that are worse than that, but I will tell you one thing
okay.
real quick about that chick, Amy, is I had that chick sleep over my house and didn't try to fuck her.
Yeah, you
like,
know, you're
slept,
an idiot.
She slept over
yeah.
my house, and we would, like, make out, and they'd be like, all right, let's go to sleep, and, like, that would be the end of it.
Wait,
said
let's go to sleep?
Well, I don't remember which one of us did, but, like, it was to the point where I was so stupid, I assumed that she wouldn't fuck me because she had a boyfriend. So I just didn't even
yeah,
try.
So why were you making out with her if she had a boyfriend?
Because whatever, just making out.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know. 20/20 hindsight. But we're all fucking idiots when we were kids.
Yeah,
like, so.
I was just saying, in my defense, I was 18 at the time, but that doesn't really excuse it because I have way worse stories from much later in life, too, that aren't any better.
Oh, God. So, yeah, so, like, I was 18. I'm pretty sure I was 18, but I could have been 19. It was either, it was around that time. And so she never responded to my letter, like, at all. Like, she got it and didn't respond to it, and I'm still in her house. So I'm like,
so you
fuck
write the letter while
shit.
You're at, so you didn't wait until you were leaving the right
yes.
letter. You wrote
oh,
it, like,
God,
while you
yes.
were still, okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. I was a fucking pussy, yo. And people wonder why I'm the way now. It took like because I know the wrong way to do things because I did them.
Right. Right.
Like I am who I am now because I fucked up so much with chicks.
Yeah.
Like I was a
yeah.
fucking retard. So
yeah.
So I write her this letter, no answer. Meanwhile, her roommate is cool as shit, like totally supportive. Just like yeah, she's kind of a bitch. Like. You know, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know what's going on with her, and she's kind of acting like a twat. So I'm like, fuck you. So I start, from her house phone, I start calling my family back in New York. I didn't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm just, like, racking up this bitch's phone bill,
yeah, saying,
calling
this is,
my
this
family,
like
saying
free,
I'm coming home
yeah,
early.
This is, like, free long distance and free cell phone. This is, like, hardcore, like, ringing up phone bills and shit.
Yeah, no, I was like, yeah, this was back in the day when it cost money
yeah.
to dial outside
yeah, exactly.
of your area code. You
right.
know, like you couldn't even dial the next town over with having to pay a fucking premium. So I'm calling fucking New York. I'm like, Mom, I'm coming home early. She sucks. I'm calling my friends. I'm calling everybody. And her brother was cool as shit. Like her brother gave me a ride to the Greyhound station like the next day. It was a miserable fucking experience. And we never spoke again after that, ever.
Wow.
Ever. Yeah. All right,
so do you want me to tell my awful story that's even worse than that, or do you want to get to the point of where you were going with this to begin with?
No, fine. Tell your fucking story. Unless Christy has anything to put in on this, I want to hear this fucking story.
Go ahead, Mick. Mine's different.
So my first girlfriend when I was, like, 14 was this girl named Jessie, who was, like, super hot for a 14-year-old boy to be dating. So we dated for like
over. So in other words, 36-year-old you would probably bang 14-year-old her, is what you're saying.
Not 14-year-old her, but like 17 or 18-year-old her, yes. Because we dated till like a summer when I was 14. Then we started seeing each other again when I was like 17 or 18.
Right.
And we started talking through some strange, we got in contact through some interesting circumstances. But we started talking again, and mind you, like you, I had kissed one girl at that point. I had not fucked anybody. I was like 17. And we started talking, and she just like starts coming out with this stuff like during like one of our first phone conversations. And she'd be like, she was like, you know what's great about this? Since we already know each other, it would be cool if we, it would be fine if like we slept together after like a week or two because we already know each other. So it's not like I'd be like a slut or anything. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing that ever happened.
Of course it is.
So we hang out one night. I think you might have actually been there for this, Mike. We hung out, and I basically brought her out one night with my friends because I wanted to show her off to my friends because she was hot.
What was wrong with her? Like, she had a
like
shot
that
she was
like,
hiatus of the labia?
What's that?
Elephantitis of the labia? Is that what was the wrong thing? That she
no, nothing. We're telling.
Here's, since you're showing up late, I wanted to talk about abusive relationships, but we wound up relating, like I related the story about how I traveled to Michigan to meet some girl from the internet, and like she basically almost fucked her boyfriend like right in front of me, which I didn't even know she had. All right,
so now I'm telling my similar story.
So Mick was like 14. Real quick, I'll recap it. Mick was like 14. He dated some chick. They only like kissed or whatever, I think. And then they hooked up again around like 17 or 18.
Right.
And he's talking to her on the phone, and she's like, you know, like if we like slept together, you like we already know each other, so it would be like I wouldn't be a slut if I fucked you because, you know, we've known each other for so long.
Right.
And so he goes out with her and he decides to like.
But
here's where
I'm an idiot. Yeah, because the first time I hang out with her, instead of being like, hey, let's just chill at my house or whatever, I wanted to bring her out so I could show her off to my friends. So,
right.
Like, I could, like, score points to my friends instead of scoring points
to
the girl.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I remember us driving around in Bronxville in, like, Enrique's car and just being miserable because I'm like, why the fuck did I bring her out with these guys? So,
what were we doing?
We weren't doing anything. Like we were like walking around Bronxville or driving around or something. Like it was just like a very like innocuous thing.
That sounds really familiar. Yeah. That sounds
so,
really
but
familiar.
But then I got annoyed, and me and her got into a fight, and we stopped talking. So that was it. No sex for me. So
right.
We stopped seeing each other, and then we got back in touch, like maybe like 5 years later, and she
so
was
you're
living
in your 20s
in,
at this point.
Yes. She was living in California, in San Fran.
Whoa.
So we start talking, and I'm like, oh, you're still single, blah, blah, blah. So,
well, with all the gay guys out there, you probably look like a prime steak. Like, ah, fuck it.
So we start talking. Nothing ever ends up happening because, you know, she's out there and I'm here. But, you know, at one point she was seeing this guy in L.A., and she kept complaining how, you know, she was like, oh, it'd be so nice if you, like, because she like, was spontaneous and would come out here and visit me and surprise me and stuff like that. Like, I always wanted a guy who would do that sort of thing. So I got it in my fucking head that I was going to do this. So as I'm, like, trying to, like, figure out, like, a plan of attack, she goes and gets a job in Houston. So she's moving to Houston. So I decide that her first weekend in Houston, I'm going to fly down to Houston and surprise her.
Oh, my God.
This doesn't sound good.
So I go down there, and she's basically like, what the fuck are you doing here, you crazy son of a bitch?
Yeah.
And
well, like she was not happy. She was not happy.
She was not happy.
Oh, man.
And I was like, well, you know, you said you wanted someone who would, like, you know, be spontaneous and do, like, some, you know, some kind of shit, and she's like, yeah, I didn't mean you.
Oh,
wow.
And I was like, all right.
Let me guess, you're going to get in contact with her again, like, in a couple of days,
oh, no,
and you're going to do the
no,
same
thing. We have not spoken since. I went back to my hotel room. I spent the weekend in my hotel room, and then I went home in a puddle of shame.
What?
And I have not spoken to
you
her
wait.
Since.
So you didn't even, like, hang out with her at all while you were there?
No.
Wow.
Wow,
what You know what, though? That's kind of cunty of her. All kidding aside, like, you're a maniac. Like, we can't take that away from you. You're fucking insane for doing that shit. And that's
right.
I can't even say that's, like, creepy, because it's not creepy. It's just wrong. It's dumb. More than crazy.
It was dumb. I was going to say, in my defense, I had been led on to a certain point. I wouldn't say it was like a done deal, but like I remember when she was all right, whatever. When she was in San Fran, she did say like, oh, if you were here right now, you know, we would sleep together and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, I got a shot with this chick.
Yeah, no, I mean that's, right. it's not it's like I said, it's insane and it was kind of dumb for you to do that, but it's not. It was just a miscalculation on your part, really.
Right.
Maybe
but,
if you,
you know,
well,
but,
well, listen, you know what? Houston sounds great. I don't know how you could say that.
I don't know, but I mean, just
the
fact that like you had showed up to surprise her, she could have at least fucking hung out with you. At least.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like beyond creeped out, and I was like, really? Like what? Like we've known each other for like. Jesus, had to be like 10, 15 years. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to like, you know, I may be crazy, but
yeah,
I'm not like.
Yeah, I think if it was some chick that you had like just met and you did that shit, that's super creepy. But like
right,
this is somebody
right.
you had kind of a long history with. It's not.
Yeah.
That's as dumb as you were. Like it's even more. I really would lay like at least 60 to 70% of the blame on her for being kind of a cunt about it. Honestly, man, like that's. Yeah, it's an embarrassing story. Don't get me wrong. But like.
Yeah,
the fact that she couldn't even, like, show it to you, like, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that I was surprised about. Like, I figured I'd go down there, and even if, like, you know, even if nothing came of it, I figured she would at least
Yeah, you saw an old friend. It's like you surprised an old friend, and she couldn't
right.
even, like.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, I figured, like, she had just gotten down there, so she didn't know anybody yet. I figured
so let me ask you
like,
the question. Since you obviously felt kind of creepy about what happened, you just, I guess, decided from that point on to just embrace your creepiness and multiply it exponentially.
You know what? Not consciously, but now that you mention it, that's probably how that...
Was that the trigger?
A lonely weekend in a fucking holiday.
That probably is, yeah. That's a good observation.
You know, honestly, Mick, like... As much as he, they should have given him the suicide room because that's where he belongs. honestly, as much as I joke on you for being creepy, like first off, you're really not that creepy. You're not. I mean, you're awkward. I wouldn't call you creepy. First off, second off, like I've seen creepy on Facebook, like dudes. Who will like go on an attractive girl's picture and be like, I totally want to, I would fuck the shit out of you. Like, there's,
right.
I mean, I'm a nasty bastard on Facebook. Like, I make lewd comments and shit like that, but I'm not like, I'm going to fuck the shit out of you. Like, people say some creepy shit. But the creepiest thing that I can think of out of all of us is something that I did. And we've mentioned that before. And Louis talked about it. Is when I was fucking smoking that cigarette in Connecticut and eyeballing those joggers, man. That was the creepiest thing I've ever done.
Well, it's just because not only like his head was moving, but his entire body. And he was hunched over like an old man.
I was in like full on creep stance.
Like
I had
smoking at the same time.
If there was such a thing as creep foo, like I had mastered it. I was in full
and the
fucking,
girl was
like,
fully aware that you were watching them
that,
from a distance coming towards you, and you moved with them, your whole body, everything.
Oh,
I don't remember that part, but I do remember standing still creepily while they jogged by.
That was why it was creepy. Otherwise, you would have just been like, you know, look, check in and check out. The creepiness was that your whole body was following them as they moved.
Actually, you know what? That's not... As creepy as that is, I think Lou's sniffing of women is probably the creepiest out of everything.
pretty bad.
I think the loose sniff is probably the creepiest. Because that's repeated and ongoing. Like, that hasn't even stopped since we pointed it out to him.
No.
now he embraces it. Like, he's like, hey, you know it's coming. If you give me a hug, you know what you're getting yourself into.
You know, my wife corroborates that.
It's true. Yeah. He does it with a flourish now. Like, he makes a big show out of it. It's not even subtle anymore. He'll say madam, and he'll do like a plie, and he'll go, allow me to sniff you.
Plie? That's a new one.
Yeah. I think it's a ballet move. I'm pretty sure.
I'm interested in Christy's being creepy. Because women can be creepy too, just, you know, because they get caught up in emotion.
Well, oh, yeah, no, absolutely. It's very rare. It's harder to be creepy as a woman, but it happens. I've seen it.
It definitely happens. Every woman has it. I was creepy. Like, stalking. Go ahead.
I don't know if I was creepy. I just say I was overtly sexual as a teenager. I was, you know, I would have to say that I was probably nerdy. But at the same time, I had, you know, I would just kind of ambush guys and, you know, kiss them in closets and stuff or under the bleachers and stuff.
Basically, you were a good time.
Sometimes it was not accepted, or it was like, bitch, get off me. What are you doing? And it wasn't well received. So.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You must have been in for like the upper echelon, because guys like us would have not been like, bitch, get off of me.
No, I usually hit above.
Oh, shit. You know what? You know, real quick, before you go on with that, Mick,
yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but when I got my first car, that shitty little orange fucking Toyota Corolla,
yeah,
and I was, you know, driving everybody around and shit like that, there was this girl, of course her fucking name was Deidre also, fucking crazy shit. I brought her out with us. Once, were you there? I think it was you and me and her, and we went to Sports Time together. You remember that shit?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, so like I worked with her at the A&P, and she was dating this fucking super jock football player dude that was like, I had to be like fucking 17, 18 at the time.
17, 18, yeah.
And she was dating this super jock football player dude that I was actually cool with. I was friends with him. And he broke up with her because, you know, she was young and a mess, and he was in his 20s and give a shit. And so she was, like, you know, all brokenhearted and shit like that. And they still had to work together and whatnot. So one day I buy in the store, we had this huge teddy bear thing, and I bought it for her and, like, gave it to her in the store, like, when nobody was looking. And she rejected it.
Like, she wouldn't even take it.
She wouldn't even take it.
Dude, did I tell you what happened to me at work, like literally, like, 6 months ago?
What?
Finish your story first.
No,
I was just going to add that Family Feud Big X and sound effect went.
Yeah, no, that would have been fantastic. As a matter of fact, if this was a real show, we could have had that sound effect and you could have played it. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, that would have been.
And it went on just, like, 2 seconds to, like,
that would have been fantastic.
What did she say to you? Did she just say, like, oh, I'm not
taking
this?
She was very sweet about it, but she was like, no, it's just not, it's not a good time. No. And I'm just like, oh, what a fucking idiot I was. So that happens, and then later on, like, we actually do start, like, hanging out and kind of dating a little bit. So I bring her to Sports Time. I'm pretty sure it was you that was with me, and we had a good time or whatever, and then we're going to go out again. But I was going to go pick her up at the A&P that she now worked at, which is on Central Avenue in McLean. So I go to pick her up, and you're with me, Jared's there, and I think maybe Enrique or Tony. It was one of those two. And so as we're waiting for her to get out, I'm just doing fucking crazy donuts in the parking lot. Like, I'm you know, doing like, peel-outs around poles and shit.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
So I'm, like, doing crazy shit like that in the parking lot, waiting for her, because we're fucking bored. We're just sitting there waiting for her. She's taking forever to get out. So then she gets out, and she's, like, standing there talking to her manager, and I'm still doing, like, peel-outs and acting like a fucking idiot in the car in the parking lot. So she gets in, and she's, like, quiet, and we take her home because she just wants to go home. And, like, later or the next day, she calls me, and she's just like, that was really not cool. Like, my manager was there, and you guys are acting like fools, and it wasn't very professional. I'm like, bitch, you work at the A&P.
Right.
You're fucking 19 years old. Like, how fucking professional?
Yeah, what kind of image are you trying to keep up? Yeah.
Yeah, we never spoke after that. Never spoke after that shit. Because I was apparently too much of an idiot.
None of these stories are abusive relationships. It's just a bunch of stories about how much of a loser you are.
Hey, could you take the dick out of your mouth? Could you just take the dick out of your mouth and say that again? Because I couldn't understand a fucking word.
I will beat Mike and reclaim my title as head loser of this group, just so you know.
Wait, what did you say, Chris? I want to hear it. No, seriously. Say what you said again.
I said that none of these stories are abusive relationships. It's just tales of how much of a loser you are.
No. We dovetailed pretty fucking bad. We completely dovetailed. We're on a different area altogether. We'll get to the abusive relationships next show.
Do you
want to
talk about abusive relationships?
No, I don't. That's next show. We've already done stupid, creepy shit. Christy has to finish her story about being a dumbass, although when we gave her a chance to talk, she was just like, oh, yeah, no, you know, I've just been really awkward and kiss guys, and that was her whole story. Do you have anything meaty, like solid?
Well, yeah. All right. Okay. I was dating this guy, Mike, and for reasons unknown, he decided to
break
up with me.
That's a fantastic name, by the way. That's a wonderful name.
Yeah.
Well, his whole name was Mike Roach, but, you know, hey.
You dated Roach. Papa Roach?
Yes, he you know, name-dropping him. Anyways, for reasons unknown, I think he was just trying to get back with his ugly butch hockey-playing girlfriend, Clarissa, and whatever. So he breaks up with me 2 days later, the poor step, on his back. So you fucking dumped me. Fast forward, I'm walking home. His friend, Javon, now bear in mind, Mike is white, Javon is black. Javon decides to pull a knife on me. Why won't you take my boy?
His name was Javon and he was black? First, before we get to the knife, his name was Javon and he was black? Who'd have thunk it?
Yes, Javon. Javon decides to pull a knife out on me and basically threaten me to get back to Mike. Like, that's going to work. You know, like, this is a beautiful thing. You know, bear in mind, I'm like 16, 17 years old. And
Can I just say something right now? Can I just say something right now? What a great friend. I wish I had friends like that.
Yeah, no, really, me too. Like, I'm more likely to see, like when we're trying to get Nick laid, like, we're more likely to push him out in front of a truck when we're doing that, which is what usually happens.
Right, yeah, like, I'm going to cut a bitch if you don't fuck my boy.
So he breaks up with you and then his friend shows up and threatens you to get back together with him? That doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Yes. I'm walking home. You know, and then he's walking. He's like, so you broke up. And then next thing you know, he's like, why didn't you go back with him? And he's got a knife. He's brandishing a knife at me. So I run into my house, and I call the cops. And Javon goes over to Mike's house. Javon goes straight to Mike's house, inside his house. The cop talks to me for a bit and then walks across the street over to Mike's house. Next thing you know, I'm watching out of the window. Javon's, like, got his hands up in the air. He's got his backpack and pulling off his jacket, and the cop's going through his shit and all that stuff. Fast forward later on, my dad comes over, and I tell him the whole thing. My dad's livid, so he goes over to next door and starts talking to the parents and stuff, and they're talking about, oh, how Mike had me over in his basement and how we were, like, fucking and, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff and trying to basically discredit me, you know, make me look like I'm this crazy lying slut, you know?
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's true, but not in this instance.
Not in this instance, you know. Not at all. I was a true flying flood. No, here's what happened. I mean, basically it was a whole bunch of nothing, and it just got our parents involved, and everybody was pissed off at everybody, and needless to say, 3 months later, me and Javon was dating.
What? You dated the guy that pulled a knife on you and you called the cops on him?
You found him sexy after that. That's crazy.
You're a fucking mess. You're a mess.
That's
you are a mess.
So you will
that is,
walk into...
No, you're... You know what? You know what? I thought Mick claimed the crown for biggest loser in this group, but Yo, I thought your story was lame, and I was going to dismiss it. I was like, God, that's not something dumb that she did. Like, we're talking about the stupid shit we did for bitches and shit
right.
like that. And she's like, oh yeah, no, I had to call the cops on my ex's best friend who pulled a knife on me. And I'm like, who cares? Like, yeah, that happened to
right.
you. It's not something you did that you caused yourself.
Yeah,
but then you fucked them. Then you feel pulling a knife on
yeah.
me is so hot. Oh, my God, I just want to allow him into my vagina.
Can you pull something else out that's sharp and pointy? Oh, wait.
Yeah, he was welling down.
Not
down.
Everybody's
but
penis
also,
is shaped like a toothpick like yours.
Oh, my bad.
But he had a Monte Carlo and he played the bass, so there you go.
Oh, yeah, no, you know what? That completely excuses him pulling a knife on you. You know what? You probably, while you were masturbating to thoughts of him, were thinking, oh, my God, he loves his friend so much that he'd pull a
yeah.
knife on me. What a stand-up guy.
What a great guy.
Wow.
You are dismissed. You have now, you are at the bottom. You are the lowest rung on the show.
Wait, can I tell you a funny rejection story real quick? So
no.
this girl started working here a few months ago.
Another one?
Yeah, another one. Oh, I got plenty. No, but this one's funny because this girl started working here a few months ago, and I was trying to talk to her. And so one day I'm like, hey, like we should go out to lunch. And she literally turns to me and she goes, well, I don't know. I'm always so busy. Like, I barely even ever take a lunch. And I'm like, bitch, we've worked together. I know your schedule. I know you take a lunch. Are you really just gonna pretend like you don't take lunch?
Nick, you can't. Like when I ask a bitch out, like it's never like, hey, do you want to go out with me? I'm just like, oh, I don't, you know, like I'm gonna be. I just throw out that I'm gonna be at this bar this weekend, and if she shows interest. Then I'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, you should stop by. But if she doesn't show interest, then I don't give a fuck anymore.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You're like, oh, yeah, no, me and my boys are going to be out at this bar this weekend. It's fucking, you know, I love that place. White Plains is awesome or whatever. And she's like, oh, shit, and she wants to talk about it. Then you got an in. But if she just, like, ignores what you said, then you move on.
Yeah.
Let's have a lunch date together. Let's see lunch. You can tell her, listen, I eat the butt, and see what that means.
Or you can pull a knife out on her and threaten her, and 3 months
yeah, apparently that works. I really thought the rest of this show, the 2 minutes that we had left, was going to be me chastising Christy for telling fucking lame-ass stories when we're all bearing our souls about how much fucking, what idiots we were when we were kids. Because her story was so fucking lame. And then she's like, oh, yeah, and I dated him.
That's,
you know what?
Yeah, really,
I guarantee you that after she kicked that Japanese hobo in the face, she went back and gave him her phone number. Guarantee it.
I was going to say she went back and gave him a blowjob.
No. No, see, I don't know how. I think what had happened was is that he had nurtured a raccoon back to, and that kind of got me, soft side of him.
Yeah,
that made you pussy wet. It didn't matter that he played the bass. Well, no, that didn't matter. That mattered to your vagina. Played the bass. He had a monster car, and he pulled a knife on you, because nothing says manly as much as pulling a knife on a small black girl.
The reason why I like this story is because now I can use this as an excuse when I pull a knife on a chick and she doesn't end up dating me. I go like, well, where's Christy? So I just figured it would
you know our luck. You pull a knife on a chick, and she'll take it out of your hand and stab you in the neck.
I think that, I mean, that was not the smartest thing I did, but at the same token, he was nothing but a complete gentleman.
Christy, on the next show, you are going to tell a story about some dumb, besides that, you're going to tell a story about how embarrassed you were because you did some dumb shit for a dude, because I know you have stories like that. And I'm not just talking about all the shit you do for your husband. I'm talking about, like, other relationships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done some pretty stupid.